The domestic story that rightly broke through the fiscal cliff countdown was the mass killing in Newtown. Like the random shootings in Tucson, Aurora, Colorado, and Virginia Tech before it, the senseless violence gave rise to opinions, passions, and calls for better support and care for people suffering with mental illness and their families. Coverage and discussion following this tragedy, however, showed some positive signs for reporting on mental health. Andrew Bojan is senior online reporter for the Poynter Institute, and he talked to a number of health journalists about how the subject has been handled after Newtown. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Virginia.
You spoke to several health or mental health reporters about how coverage of the shooting followed. What, in summary, did they think?
Well, what I heard from a lot of them was that there's still not enough. We're still not really doing enough coverage, but that a few of them told me that they saw some positive signs in the coverage this time around.
Like what kinds of things?
Well, it used to be that learning or even hearing that a suspect had a history of mental health issues or mental illness was explanation enough for what happened. But John Head, who used to write for the Atlantic Journal Constitution, told me that when he would bring these stories to his editors, they'd be like, "Is the guy crazy?" Well, it's done. Mm. You know, in Newtown, you didn't hear more. You heard about Adam Lanza's purported Asperger's syndrome as just one aspect of his very puzzling life.
Mm. You hear a lot more about the family now, too. Those seem to be the stories. What do you think? What's prompting these new perspectives on mental sickness or illness after Newtown?
Well, I think it's a complicated cocktail of possibilities here. I mean, I don't think that suddenly everyone's gotten terribly enlightened, but I do think that there is a lot more incentive to follow stories than there was during events like Columbine, about which a lot of misinformation was reported and allowed to just hang out there forever. So, you know, there's a lot more outlets encouraging reporting. There's a lot more space for people to talk about this stuff. And that brings in a lot more perspectives.
Yeah, the public voice has been significant. Reports and speculation was quite swift after the shooting. Adam Lanza may have had Asperger's syndrome. His mother may have been attempting to have him committed. But beyond reporting, these diagnoses or reported diagnoses have prompted all kinds of opinions and essays about mental illness. What's coming up now in the public dialogue?
Well, yeah, like you say, you know, there's been a lot of fascinating dialogue. A lot of autism and Asperger's groups tried to get out in front of this story and say, like, you know, don't blame Asperger's, don't blame autism for it. John Hamilton, the NPR science reporter, told me that he thought that that was a conscious decision on their part. And again, I think the ever-increasing of publishing platforms really gives advocates a chance to get these messages out on their own.
You know, you pointed out a terrific series in your column called Imminent Danger. This was in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And the headline there, I went and looked at it online, says, "A Call for Action. Let's Confront Mental Health Crises and Save Lives." Now that, you don't often see, Andrew, as a headline, a call for action. Is this being differently reported than other, let's call it, straight news stories?
Well, you know, that's an interesting example because the call for action was a opinion piece that the same reporter who did Imminent Danger, Meg Kissinger, wrote. She did the series in 2011, and that was a very straight reported, very deeply reported investigative piece, painstakingly put together, that looked at the costs of a decision that made it harder to commit people against their own will. But just like that series brought in a lot of great things like videos and photos that really contextualized that reporting, that opinion piece talked about what she had learned and what she could apply to what she thinks we could apply to Newtown, which is that a lot of times our mental health system and how we treat people with it is just really, really crummy. Mm.
Do stories involving people with a history of mental illness get different kinds of coverage than the kinds of, you know, absolutely regrettable but nonetheless more common stories of violence? Like now we're getting a lot about the murder rate in Chicago, for example. Do you think mental illness has a different kind of pull or a different sensitivity? What's going on here?
Well, I think that those stories have always been very hard to move up the editorial chain because readers don't like them. a lot of the time. They might think that they're important, but they don't necessarily want to read them. Editors are worried about putting a lot of resources into something that readers won't be into, especially now. And, you know, there's not much beat reporting in mental health and mental illness. There's a lot of great investigative work still happening, but there are very few reporters actually looking at this stuff day in and day out. It's not a cuddly crowd, as Meg Kissinger told me.
Andrew Bojan, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Andrew Bojan, senior online reporter for the Poynter Institute. He's also author of the article, Mental Health Reporters Say Newtown Shooting Coverage Shows Progress. Now stay with us for smartphone apps that help ordinary citizens bypass bureaucracies and engage with their communities. We're going to hear about the nonprofit Code for America when word of mouth continues.